fuck off, will you? Fresh, yeah?
Shut the fuck up!
Right, guys, honestly, you're in for a little treat now. I'm really looking forward to this. Described as an Irish-Palestinian mashup, the accidental rapper Aziz Abu Shark, Ara Krishnan Effi, and lads, wait till you hear this. This is so good. Come on out, guys.
How's it going, folks? You well? Let's introduce Ara here and Aziz. Aziz, do you want to say a couple of words before we start?
I would like to thank everyone for coming here. My name is Aziz Abu Shark, and just to let you know, this instrument is called Al Kanun. It has 72 strings, and yes, it looks like the harp. Thank you for speaking about Palestine, what's happening in Gaza. And yeah, it says what's happening right now. I'm doing my part in resisting by playing my music. So yeah, thank you very much, and hope you enjoy it.
So this song we're going to play is about the kind of solidarity between Irish people and Palestinian people. I have friends from around Europe and the US, and I've seen people on TikTok saying, why is Ireland, like, why is this small island on the edge of Europe going so hard for Palestine? And I mean, it's no, I don't have to tell anyone here why that is. We all know why that is. We have a shared history of oppression and colonialism, and we see that happening in Palestine now today. But also we have a lot of the same characters in our history that overlap. Arthur Balfour, who was known for the infamous Balfour Declaration, which promised Palestine to the Zionists. He was the chief secretary in Ireland. He was known down in Cork, where I'm from, as Bloody Balfour, for the role he played in supporting the RIC during the Mitchelstown massacre. We also saw the Black and Tans, who terrorised the people of Ireland for years, burnt down homes, murdered people, tortured people. When we finally kicked them out of this country, Winston Churchill sent them off to Palestine to become the Palestine Police Force. So the very same people who were oppressing and attacking Irish people were then sent to Palestine to do the same thing there. On a kind of a lighter note, we need the Occupied Territories Bill passed. Fianna Fáil promised us in the last election 4 years ago in their manifesto that they had passed the Occupied Territories Bill. That was 4 years ago. Fianna Fáil got into government after that election. Micheál Martin became the Taoiseach, and the Occupied Territories Bill has been gathering dust ever since. So if anyone comes to you this year looking for your vote, giving you promises about what they're going to do, tell them, we're sick of promises. We need action. We want the Occupied Territories Bill passed immediately. But yeah, the term boycott was actually coined in Ireland, up in County Mayo, by Charles Stewart Parnell and the Land League. The BDS campaign, Boycott, Divest, Sanctions. I'm wearing as well tonight, I'm just wearing this press t-shirt. I know a lot of lads wear Manchester United jerseys, Liverpool jerseys, Batman t-shirts. Honestly, the journalists in Gaza have been heroes. So I'd like to dedicate this song to people like Motaz and Bissan and Al Jamas in the north, and Hassan Shabbat, Mansour, maybe returned safely, and Plestia and Hale, and so many others. But yeah, let me kick off the track. So it's easy to feel hopeless, I guess, these days, seeing what's happening. One kind of thing I like to take with me is the words of Terence McSweeney, who's the Lord Mayor of Cork City. He died on hunger strike in 1920. Less than a year later, the south of Ireland gained independence from Britain, but he said that it is not those who inflict most, but those who endure most, who will prevail. So we'll kick off the track now. I just want to teach you the chorus, first of all. So the chorus is in Irish, but it's easy enough, all right? So when I say oit ella, I want you to say trid cana as loud as you can, all right? So oit ella means another place, and then trid cana means the same struggle. When I say oit ella, you say trid cana, all right? We give it a go. Oit ella. It's going to have to be louder than that. This is going to be the only place in the world, this room, where people are going to be shouting Irish lyrics across Palestinian canoe music. So give us fucking socks, all right? When I say oich ella, you say trid kena, all right? Everybody in the room. Oich ella.
Trid kena.
Oich ella.
Trid kena.
Oich ella. Lanami de roigni nyertga curlikela. So lanami de roigni nyertga curlikela just means we will carry on. There's no strength without unity.
Thank you.
Palestine, we see your pain and pray for you through this. I'm not saying it's the same, but see, we were the blueprint. Recognise the struggle, cause we've seen it before. Curse of Cromwell, Bloody Sunday, and the burning of Cork. Balfour left his mark on the Emerald Isle. Then he went and lit a spark under the Zionist coin. The black and tans were ousted, finally, from these shores. Churchill went and sent him to the Palestine police force. Anybody born in the shadow of their main oppressor. Diamonds formed from years under the greatest pressure. Occupation over several centuries. Sadly, scars remain deep within collective memory, connected through history. We can hear your people's call. Up and down this island, your flag flies over City Hall. Deep down, we recognise under the rubble are our brothers and our sisters from a similar struggle. Oich Ella, Oich Ella, Oich Ella. Lanami the Rigni Nyerka Kurlakela. Gazans penned in, trapped by the wall. Israelis daily violating international law. Military aid, the legal are neglected as exceptions are made. Gaza, they literally have their backs to the wall. Israelis daily violating international law. F-16s, Apaches, US military aid. The Levy law neglected as exceptions are made. Collective punishment, the slaughter of civilians. You don't target anyone when you cut water off to millions. Oasis of democracy, far from that. Families forced from the West Bank as land gets grabbed. Like 1984 on a daily basis. NSO, Pegasus, Blue Wolf surveillance. Amazon and Google workers want to what they witnessed. Plead with them to put an end to Project Nimbus. Unit 8200 trying to do more spying. Need real journalism to review their crimes. APAC, hijack, what's truth or lies? So you may not read about it in the New York Times. Oich Ella, Oich Ella, Oich Ella. Zanami the Roigni Nyerka Kurlakela. Hack resistance from the Raytheon 9 or an Elbit system. Solidarity to people no different to you and I. Ask the UN B'Tselem or rabbis for human rights. Anybody listening who refuses to get it. Criticising war crimes isn't anti-Semitic. We know Jews and Zionists are not one and the same. Love to Jewish voice for peace, screaming not in our name. We coined the term boycott down around Westport. Ironically, might just be our proudest export. Call for BDS and more trade embargoes. For stevedores and ports not to take their cargo. We mourn innocent deaths of every persuasion. But know the way to end the violence is to end the occupation. Pray this dark night will end. And we'll see the dawn, Ireland to Palestine, Sir Shah Shia Khan.
Oich Ella,
Oich Ella. Oich Ella. Landing me the right knee, Nyaka Kula Kela. For Aaron Aziz, everybody. Yup, the flats. Yeah.
Holy shit. I said it was going to be good, but I undersold it. Didn't I undersell it? That was fucking awesome. Look at him.
That was amazing, wasn't it? Now we're doing something. Now we're doing something. The young people up here kicking ass. Now we're doing something.
Unbelievable.
Starting it off with that, it just blows my heart wide open. It was amazing. Give them another round of applause. For me, there is separation and then there's unity. We're all separate, afraid individuals. And then when we come together, there's love and there's unity. And that's where I find that I'm leaning towards. I get stressed out when I'm on my own, when I'm with brothers and sisters, and we can love each other and trust in each other and have care for each other, I get a bit stronger. So now we're going to try and do another Zoom with a guy called Ian White. He used to work in the Glen Cree Reconciliation Centre. And he's an amazing guy. There you are. I don't know if he can see us, but something's happening. There's a camera somewhere. Tony Groves is going to talk to him up there. There you go. Look. So Ian has spent his life in the peace process, in reconciliation, and talking in the Glen Cree Centre and with Hamas and with people all over the world, okay? So Tony's going to have a chat with him for a few minutes. Give him a round of applause. Ian White, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to speak to you, and thank you so much for coming in on this. It's really interesting to get your perspective. You have quite the... back catalogue of conflict, Ian. You certainly seem to be, let's just say you're overqualified when it comes to historic conflicts. Is that a fair comment?
Well, thank you for that compliment. I mean, what I really wanted to do was to tell you a couple of stories and to make the conflict real for you. Because there's one thing that I'm very sure of, and that is that Hamas are not a terrorist organization. And I can say that because I've met them. I've met them twice, but the first time I went to Gaza, I was taken by Fatah. Now, this speaks to, I think, the US's involvement in UNRWA or uninvolvement in UNRWA, because this game has been going on. The United States have been playing for some time. My first time to Gaza, as I said, was with Fatah, and Fatah, they took me to the bridge that the USAID, USAID, had built. And this was a bridge that was built to try to get the Palestinian, the Gazan, goods out through Israel. So that was fine, until I realized that there was a hole in the middle of the bridge. And I said, well, who did that? And it was explained to me that it was the Israeli army that had done this. And that night, whenever I was speaking in a university, I shared my problem, my dilemma, with a group of students, mainly Jews, I think, and mainly Israelis, I think. And one of them responded by saying, well, actually, you know, the US paid for the plane, they paid for the bomb, they paid for the salary of the soldier that dropped it. And so that was the first, my exposure to Gaza. I'd been to the Middle East a few times before that. I think I've been there 10 or 12 or 15 times or something like that. I've met with the PFLP, with Hamas, with Islamic Jihad, and with Al-Aqsa Martyrs. And I met with them all with a view to trying to build peace between them. the reality is that I took a UVF man, a former UVF man, a former IRA man with me, because that gave me license to talk about unity and about peace building.
I think that's a fantastic insight into to your own experience. But when you said you started, but you opened by saying Hamas is not a terrorist organization. I know Hamas is a lot of things. It's government. It's the police force. It's the infrastructure they look after. Much of the public health infrastructure. I mean, we keep seeing this awful phrase though that says the death toll according to the Hamas led Ministry for Health. I never have to hear that shit when it comes to anywhere else.
That's right.
I ask you were talking about, historic conflict and bringing other parties and you're from a loyalist background yourself, and you've come out and you talk about how people should be able to sit around a table and negotiate a peace. So when you look at this position, it's a real cop-out for me when people say, oh, it's complicated, let's not touch it because it's complicated. What's your reaction to that just blanket statement for doing nothing?
My mother always told me, she was a wee loyalist, but she always told me that the Middle East would be the final war. It would be the war that would end all wars. And I have to believe her on that, because when I was in Gaza and we were working to build peace between Fatah and Hamas effectively, I also had an interesting encounter with a member of Hamas who pushed me. I'm a smoker. And I was in the corner having a little smoke, thinking, what are we going to do next with the group? And a guy came over, and he was from Hamas, and he started pushing me. And he pushed me 10 or 15 feet across this courtyard. It was a courtyard. It was an open area. And I was wondering what I'd done to offend him. So I asked the interpreter to go and have a word with him and find out what I had done to offend him. It turned out that I wasn't offending him at all. He was pushing me out of the way of a sniper that could have sat on the top of a roof. So Hamas have shown generosity to me. Hamas are not a terrorist organization. They are local governments. They're health services. They're everything, as you say, Tony. But the problem is the Israelis are not being described in the same way.
I think that's really fair. The difference of treatment of how the UNRWA was just cut their funding, and yet Israel gets told, well, actually we'll go around even Congress in the United States and continue the aid and continue the delivery of weapons. Can I ask you though, again back to this intractable position, do you, in your decades of experience in these conflicts, do you see a way forward that this nonsense of what happens after day one or the last day of this current conflict, do you see a way forward out of that?
I think it has to be a two-state solution. That's all I can say. It has to be a two-state solution. I don't think Israel have got the ability to run one state. I think it will end up being genocidal, just as the war that we're watching is. I can't really see a way, but I can see that Hamas would be foolish to give up their hostages at this stage, because what would they get for it? And I think that that the hostage situation is one that's fragile, it's delicate, but if I were Hamas, I wouldn't be giving up my prisoners yet.
I want to see everybody safe home. I want to see everybody. I don't want to see any more loss of life. But the only thing I will say to actually add to your argument, Ian, is that obviously Israel went out knowing that when the hostages were taken, we'll just, illegally effectively arrest a lot of people without charge. Thousands, hundreds of people in the West Bank have been arrested just so they can then do a prisoner exchange where they say, we've given 300 people for one person kind of thing, when we know most of these people have been, we had it on this island, Ian, it's called internment.
Yeah. Whenever I met Hania, it was interesting because the one thing he asked me for was to get him credibility, to get him some kind of acceptance by the Israelis so as they could do a deal together. And he asked me to go and speak with the Minister for Foreign Affairs, or sorry, the Minister for Defence in Israel, Uzi Landau. I met with Uzi, and I told him that, you know, Hamas were basically looking for acceptance in the same way as Sinn Féin were, the same way as many organisations are in the North. And he poo-pooed the idea. He says, well, Hamas would say that after all. So for me, Hamas, and I've met with Yasser Arafat as well. I've met with a number of senior Israeli figures.
Are you just dropping names now?
Whenever I met with Shimon Peres, he also blew the Hamas plan out of the water, saying that they would say that anyway, wouldn't they? But for me, there has been no giving in Israel. Israel has been taking for a long, long time, 75 years or whatever.
Ian, just in conclusion, without actual pressure from, say, the United States, Israel won't give.
Well, I mean, that's the real problem. I mean, yeah. The U.S. is the real problem. And God forbid Trump might get in. And the current guy, I mean, Biden is doing nothing.
Konstantin Gurdjieff, and he's living in Denver now, says, described it as, and excuse the lack of tact, the sleeper versus the creeper. So it's not a great choice. Well, you've just been like, thank you for bringing that perspective. Have you got any closing thoughts before we wrap this conversation? It's been a brilliant evening, but I think it's really interesting to get your perspective of someone who has done this for decades.
Well, look, I mean, I originally went to the Middle East as part of a peace mission, and it has broken down well and truly. But I think one of the things I'd like to have said also is that the UN needs to be totally remodeled. Its Court of Justice has no teeth. The veto continues to play a role in US politics. So the UN, in my opinion, whilst they're doing their best, they need to be remodeled. So that would be my final thought for you for this evening.
Thank you so much, Ian. I really appreciate it. It's been great to get your perspective, and we thanks for your patience as well tonight. I know it's been a tiresome enterprise trying to get you on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, one more round of applause for Ian White, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're going to give you a little bit of music now from Martin Leitch. Give Martin a big round of applause.
This is a song called Palestine. The chorus is, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You'll pick it up easy enough. It'd be great to hear you. Without freedom are human rights, an occupation by a military might, a clear command from an apartheid state, dominate, intimidate, humiliate, forced from their homes and to flee their land, a colonizing that never ends. Demonize, dehumanize, but they will rise, they will rise, they will rise, they will rise. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine. Palestine, you will be free. An open prison, surrounded day by tanks and guns from the USA. And now we see more sickening war crimes. No medicine, water, food, or light. While children under rubble slowly die. White phosphorus rains from the sky. We can't stand by and watch this genocide. We must rise. The world must rise. We must rise. The world must rise. Here we go. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You sing it. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine, you will be free. 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 You will be free.
We have a young man who has just returned from Gaza who decided this evening that he'd like to say a few words now that he's back. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming here. And my English is not good. I will take my friend to translate. I will speak in Arabic and translate. Okay. Thank you. أنا طلعت من غزة تقريبا قبل 3 سنوات. طبعا أنا ما كنت أتوقع في أي يوم أني أغادر غزة لأنه كان أمورنا كلها تمام. إحنا في الأصل مصورين, أنا فوتوغرافي يعني بصور مونتاج تصوير, فكانت أمورنا كلها تمام.
So he left Gaza 3 years ago and he didn't know that he's gonna leave Gaza. He has a family business. They all like do photos, photography and everything.
بعد ما خلصت دراستي في الجامعة ف يعني كانت كل تقريبا 6 شهور أو سنة تصير علينا حرب, فأنا شايف إنه البلد هذه ما رح أقدر أعمل فيها أي شيء ولا أقدر أحقق أي شيء فيها, لأنه كل سنة تصير فيها حرب تنهدم بيوت, تنهدم المحلات, ينهدم كل شيء.
So he finishes education in college and he's saying that every now and then, every 2 years, every 1 year, a war from Israel against Gaza, against people in Gaza. So he decided that there's no future in him, for him in Gaza, and he decided to leave.
Okay,
everyone's telling him that going to Europe was the best option for you, but unfortunately, because I, as you know, because he has a Palestinian passport, he's restricted to where to travel to get the visa. And you know, Europe is one of the most like, it's so hard to get a visa to visit Europe and everything. So yeah. Okay, so basically, the only option for him was to go to Istanbul, Turkey. So he went to Turkey and he started working. And his family were rejecting the idea that he to go to Europe in a legal way because it's hard and it's dangerous because some people die in the way. Everyone was telling him to Turkey to go to Europe for a better future and everything. And so he decided to take the hardest route, which is the illegal way. Even when he wanted to go to a legal way, everyone is scamming him, taking money from him and not even finding a way to come to Europe. So he decided to swim from Turkey to Greece. So yeah, he decided to go and to swim, but the first time he went there, he was like, the sea was so dangerous, like he couldn't do it because he's seen the sea. He thought himself, he's a, like, he told himself, like, I'm a good swimmer, like nothing will like make me afraid of anything. What he seen the sea, he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And he went back. To encourage himself, he asked a friend of his to go with him. And they went together and they called it the trip of death. Because you never know. So basically during September, he started his journey from Turkey, from Bodrum.
كانت المسافة تقريبا فحصناها على الجوجل ماب تقريبا 6 كيلومتر.
The distance was about 6 kilometers.
فقررنا نطلع، طلعنا تقريبا الساعة 9 المساء، نزلنا في المية في من تركيا، وصلنا طبعا اليونان الساعة 3 الصبح.
So he started his journey from Turkey 9 p.m. swimming and he reached Cyprus, right? Yeah, around 3 a.m. 6 hours, right? Yeah. So he's seen this multiple times because of, as you can see, it was dark. The sea was moving. And yeah, fortunately, like he was a good swimmer, he had a friend to encourage him. So could you tell them how did you know the distance? How did you know from Turkey to Cyprus?
طبعا المكان طبعا من تركيا انت بتشوف ممكن بتشوف اليونان هي جزيرة يونانية اسمها كوس طبعا احنا كنا شايفين فيها المراوح تبعت الطاقة كان في 5 مراوح يا دوب تكون شايفة يعني صعب جدا انك تشوفها غير تكون مركز كتير فعلمناها نقطة ان نضل ماشيين عليها.
So do you know how, so he planned how he know that he's in Greece, he went to the island. So you see only lights, small lights in Greece. So he decided to just swim to them. So he stayed in Yunnan, forcibly they forced him to stay in Yunnan and they made him do his fingerprints and everything. So he tried his best to leave Greece. So he stayed for 1 year in Greece, then he went back to Gaza to visit his family. And he didn't know that it was his last time seeing his father alive.
لما روحت طبعا بدي أزور أهلي وأزور عائلتي فتقريبا قعدت معهم تقريبا شهرين أو 3 شهور ورجعت تاني على اليونان.
So he stayed 2 months with his family in Gaza. That was the last time he's in Gaza seeing his family, and now he's back to Greece. So before he decided to come to Dublin, the war has started.
بلشت الحرب هذه الأخيرة وكنت جدا قلقان لأنه الحرب هاي مش زي كل حرب.
He was worried because this war is different than any other war that Israel launched on Gaza. So his family decided to move from north to south because the where they stayed is so dangerous. Yeah, they moved more than like 4 times, 3 times. One day he got a call.
أنا كنت في شغلي وأجل الاتصال من أخويا الصغير أخبرني إنه أبوك فارق الحياة.
So yeah, one day he received a phone call from his younger brother telling him that his father was killed by the Israeli forces. He was shot by an F-16 from the sky.
بعد أنا ما قدرتش أتحمل أي شيء يعني صراحة بس كنت ناوي بس إنه أرجع على غزة أشوف أهلي حتى لو بدي أموت معهم بس بدي أرجع على غزة ولكن للأسف الشديد كان كل شيء مسكر المعبر ومصر كل شيء مسكر.
So he decided to go back to Gaza even everything is closed because he wants to be with his family. He wants to die with his family.
طبعا أصدقائي قالوا لي أنت لازم تهدي ويعني ما بصير إلا كل خير يعني ولازم تضلك موجود وتفكر بخطوة تانية.
Yeah. His friends calmed him down and told him you have to like to think for a different like step and situation. Yeah, and his uncle as well was killed 3 days before his father. And his relatives as well, like about like 5 of them were killed. They didn't tell his grandmother that her son was killed by the Israeli. But then when they told her, she had a heart attack and she died on the spot.
طبعا أنا كنت لازم أخذ خطوة لأنه أنا مش قادر لا أرجع أشوف أهلي ولا قادر أقعد في اليونان لأنه ما كان في عندي استقرار فقررت أني أطلع وكان أنا عندي حلم من وأنا صغير أن أقعد في دولة بتحكي إنجليزي فأنا هدفي هذا.
So he decided to take that step. It's a hard decision to move to a country where his goal like when he was young he wanted to go to an English speaking language.
فبلشت أبحث شو الدولة ممكن اللي أروحها تحكي إنجليزي أو شو الدولة اللي ممكن تناسبني فأنا طلعت فلقيت هي إيرلندا هي الدولة الوحيدة اللي بتعترف في دولة فلسطين وبتدعم القضية والشعب الفلسطيني.
So the reason he came to Dublin because he was doing his to Ireland he was doing his own research and found out that we are shared struggle and you understand what he's feeling because of what you experienced and decided to come to Ireland.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's applied for refugee status, but unfortunately they told him to go sleep in the street, and he's been sleeping for a whole month in the streets now. So after staying here for a whole month without a refuge, without a house, he went back to the immigration office and they told him that if you're not going to find me a place, I will go back to Gaza and I will die there because I moved from a tent to a tent. So basically, after he's seen the demonstrations and the love of the Irish people to Palestine and everything, he felt like he's part of the family. He felt like the Irish people are his family. And he's wishing like to continue living his life here in Ireland, here in Dublin, in front of you, with you, and to start his own, like, he start working and start to be like...
Thank you very much.
Living like anyone. So yeah, thank you very much for listening to him.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Mr. Sean Mulrooney and Laura O'Neill.
Thanks, Dino. Great to be here. I have a couple of words in Arabic. Anna inta, inta anna, mishina sawa. I am you and you are me and we walk together. So... this is a song called No Two Sides. I'm very honored to be here. I could not have imagined that I would be playing a song for the Palestinian people and the struggle and the cause and world peace. 2 months ago, this song came to me. What really was the catalyst for it was when I saw a Palestinian man carrying the limbs of his child in a plastic bag. And I said, what can I do about this? And I thought, I'll try and write a song. And then, as I was writing the song, I was looking for inspiration. And I was like, calling in the old masters, and I was thinking, what would John Lennon have done now? Or what would Nelson Mandela say, you know? I actually wrote a line in this song in November about Nelson Mandela, and look what happened. South Africa stood up. This is for all of you beautiful people, my prayer for Palestine. It's called No Two Sides.
Occupation. This is not a war. This is genocide. There can be no justification for the murder of children. This is sacred law. Do nothing to harm the children. Without compassion, there's only reaction. As prophets in arms soar. If you follow the money, you'll see who calls for war. There are no two sides in genocide. There are no two sides in genocide. Well, Nelson Mandela was a heck of a fella, 'cause he led with love and he broke down the apartheid. Well, Mahatma Gandhi, he took on the royalty and through peaceful means he became fucking unstoppable. There are no children. Well, a life of prayer would not be a wasted life. But actions speak louder than words, and it's time for action. Even with the silence, and even with the violence, let our love be greater than our fear.
On Palestine. Hey.
Sean Mulrooney and Laura, thank you very much. There's a line in that song and it says, do nothing to harm the children. And you can read that two ways. If we do nothing, we harm the children. So we need to just do stuff. We need to find out we need to do stuff. Sean, thank you very much for your words, for your song. Thank you for turning up. Thank you, Sean, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Sparky from the Fresh Batch. It's been an amazing night. Thank you, guys. I have been blown away by the whole... I was looking at the lineup, and I could never imagine a night like this, you know, and it's amazing. So a big round of applause for everybody. When Dean and Tony were putting together this night, there was one person that I really wanted to push, and it's a guy who's going to come out here now. His name is Mikey Cullen. He's a poet, and I just want you to hear his words.
I'm going to do a little poem for you. I was approached in November by a lad named Sean Shankoy, and he was putting together a magazine called The Little Party Act, which means solidarity in Irish, and it was a collection of prose, poetry, and visual art, all in aid of Gaza. So he asked me to write a poem, and I'd written poems over the years about Palestine and the Irish connection, but I wanted to write something else. So I thought of a documentary that I watched in Easter, I think, of this year. It was a voice documentary about the Lions Den, which are a resistance group in the West Bank. And they're interviewing one of their volunteers from the Lions Den. And the interviewer was saying to him, you know, why are you taking up arms against Israel? Why not go to college? Why not go to school? You know, why not peacefully protest or whatever? And he basically said, and he's standing in a refugee camp, and he said, look around, you know, my home's being destroyed. I live in squalor. My movements are controlled every day. I've lost countless family members. And he said one thing that really encapsulated the lack of freedom and the oppression that Palestinians face, which is what he said, I've never even seen the sea. So and I thought that, like, I'm sure like a lot of you, the sea is something for me. I go to unwind, I go to meditate, whatever it is. It's, you know, something as literally as not being deprived of Mother Earth, of nature, just really shows the lack of freedom that they have. So I wrote the poem kind of based on that. It's called He Wishes For To See. I've never seen the sea. Why wouldn't I fight? Dressed in imposing head to toe black, his people swarm around him with his shoulders back. A rifle slung across his torso. He tells the interviewer he's 18. He's young to be a gunman, I say to myself. Says he's a part of the Lion's Den. the fear-inducing visage, ash-waged by the cracks of light and person emanating out of the slits of his mask, his warm and welcoming brown eyes, shielded by a steely resolve and resolution in place of where teenage insecurities and fears should shine through. His voice is laden with conviction, but breaks and is vulnerable when he laments, "I've never seen the sea. Why wouldn't I fight?" In his youthful longing, I hear my students, his age, their longings and their dreams met with reality's cold confrontation. I see him, I hear his people, their songs, their dreams. Daniel escaped the lion's den. They were not allowed. The walls of Janine's camp calls for resistance. Its spirit dwells in every breath of existence in those creased lion skins of elders older than those who imposed the lions across the Levant, and in the unbridled laughter emanating from children kicking around a shabby ball and dreaming of emulating the name on the back of their shirt. Their laughter escapes into the skies where kites should flutter, not hawks hover. The limit of their dreams, only the craters hollowed from above and walls covered with holes and dried up blood. We all have to fight for our dreams. There is a gaze captured, a gaze in the eyes of the camp's youth and our gunman. A gaze to nothing. From those who've said goodbye far many times to count. From those who should still believe in monsters without having evidence of their actual existence. From those who still dream in spite of reality, to spite reality. Death shatters all illusions and they stare beyond the precipice. Innocence fades in us all, but here, it is obliterated all at once. I realise there is no young here, no too young. There isn't any way for the hawks. It's a gaze far beyond the physical and mental confines, beyond walls, checkpoints, borders and their reality, to where the sky doesn't fall and birds sing not bullets, to safety and opportunity across a sea that they have never known. Free Palestine.
Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, this young man, his name is Mikey Cullen. Please give a big round of applause. Thank you, Mikey.
Thank you for that.
Ooh, the energy is good tonight. Mommy and daddy, brothers and sisters, the energy is good in the room tonight. We're going to have a chat with two amazing women. Two other amazing women I want to talk about for a second. So in February, me and there's a lady in the room and a few other people in this city, we organised a thing called Ireland for All. It was a march. It was a coming together. It was a demonstration. It was a family of people to say we don't want hate. We don't want fascism. We don't want racism in our country. That's not what we're of. We're of solidarity and family and love. That's what we're of. That's the country that you're in. In the face of imperial destruction, hate, horror, we just come with love and connection and family. And so Claire O'Connor and Karen Moynihan, who helped organize the 100,000 people that came out last week. When I arrived at that march, they said, there's two women that you need to get on stage. And those two women are in the room tonight and you're going to give them a big round of applause and they're going to come down here and we're going to talk and we're going to have a bit of crack and we're going to get a bit real. Please come to the stage, Aseel and Walla. So welcome.
Thank you.
How are you feeling tonight so far? What do you think?
Incredible, but I just want to start off by saying I didn't catch the gentleman's name. But Aseel and I, we were talking and he's one of our own and there's absolutely no way إنه راح نخليك without a shelter أنت ابن البلد. So just after this, we will chat because there's not a chance that we're going to let you without shelter. You're one of our own. And so you broke our hearts, but يعني ابن البلد, we will talk after.
Or in Irish, you're fucked now, the women have you. Yeah? Once you're in with these women, that's it. The strength of these two women here, of all the women that I've been around, of Bernadette Devlin, who spoke so eloquently and told Joe Biden to go fuck himself, and told any fucking politician from this country to go and fuck themselves, okay? If they go over and start kowtowing to that shit, to that imperial shit. Bernadette. Yup, we're all the Palestinians.
And it's in our millions and our billions now because we're way more than thousands.
That's the one that got me last week. In our millions.
In our billions.
We are all Palestinian. We are all Irish travellers. We were all whoever else is getting fucking shit on and oppressed, okay? That's where we're going in this world of ours. In this algorithm imperial driven madness. We need to be all of those people, okay? Because we outnumber them by billions.
By billions.
What's it like... and you arrive on the street and there's thousands upon thousands and thousands of people waving your flag, you know, shouting slogans in your favour. What's that like? You know, you're not in Gaza, you're not in, you know, the West Bank, you're in Dublin. But what's it like to be here and to witness that?
Well, personally, it warms my heart to see any person standing for another person, standing against any form of oppression. But especially that if it's the case of Palestine, where I know how ugly the oppression that is, it means a lot more. And for me, seeing people, I was seeing that, I was telling people at the protest, like, just look among you. You're all so beautiful. You're all so different, so diverse. But what brought you together is justice, is freedom, is the belief in human rights, in dignity, in humanity. And that's the collective unconscious we were referring to. So it was very beautiful and heartwarming to see massive numbers. They had nothing to gain. Anyone chanting for Palestine has nothing to gain. They're just doing what their conscience is telling them. Actually, not only they have nothing to gain, but they have things to lose. Maybe jobs, maybe friends, but still they know what's right and what's wrong, and they're brave enough to stand with what's right.
So I love your fucking energy. I love your energy. My diesel car's outside. I need petrol. I'm going to put you in the back.
She should come up here.
So what brings you two women who a few weeks ago didn't know each other together on a stage, on a podcast, on a live stream? How does that happen? Tell us the story.
So just to also answer that question, I've been in Ireland for about 12 years now. So I was 17 when I first arrived, and there was protest for Palestine in 2021 and 2018. So I'm kind of used to seeing the Palestinian flag in Ireland. But the amount of love and support and community that I felt in the last 3-4 months is unmatched. I grew up in Libya and North Africa, and I also lived in Syria and Lebanon, and I've lived in Ireland, and I haven't felt home or as close to home aside from here.
Let it out! Let it out! Let it out!
No, enough crying. But it is a lot of shared struggle, we say, but you see it in the conversations that you have with people. And the community that is we have in Ireland is so different. I have one of my friends up there. He's Italian, and up until 3 months ago, he didn't really know what was happening. And now he's in the protests, and he's here today. And that can only happen in Ireland. That doesn't happen anywhere else. And it's that inclusive community that we have that I'm so grateful for. So thank you guys for everything. And I'm just grateful for one thing. I've always suffered earlier, like I just arrived 1.5 years ago. Whenever someone asks me where you're from, it's always, always Pakistan. Yes. I always have to say, here we go, Palestine. And now, thank God, I don't need to explain where is Palestine. Like, aside from, in spite of how dark and gloomy the situation is, but it has brought forth some positivity because this has been happening for almost a century. But finally, we have a platform to speak. We are invited to a podcast to speak about the struggle, to voice the suffering of our people.
I've never known what to do other than to be in community. That's what we do. We grew up together. We live and work in Ballymun, and community is all we have. It's the only currency we have. And it's family, it's love, it's trust. And that's what I said earlier on. I trust you. You're a fucking crazy looking fucker. You speak for hours and you don't shut up. But by default, I trust you. I trust you. There's trust here. And I think that that's one of the things that we as Irish people, we have the privilege of, we can go to that trust place quicker. And there's no fucking years and years and years of the journey. It's straight away. It's a hug, it's a handshake, it's a look, and we're in.
So I just wanted to say, one of the people that we invited a friend of mine, a woman, to come and speak, and she was too afraid, not afraid of, politically afraid, she was just fearful of being on stage and stuff like that. She never spoke in front of a crowd. And we asked her to come. She said, "Why are you asking me?" And I said, "Oh, I've never seen you get involved in anything political before." Now, she's got involved in stuff in the community and, you know, different campaigns in the community where she lives, or as she would say, the community. But she is out marching. She has, on her Facebook, "It's all Palestine." And I just wanted to ask her why, you know? And I think, you know, what Dean is saying is why, you know, because we are all about community in this city, you know, we've always been about that, and we've always stood, you know, we've always, we are always in solidarity, you know, with the downtrodden and that. So I think we're not perfect, you know, we're not, you know, there's a lot going on here, like, you know, and we have to all work together on that stuff too, you know. But I think it's very, very heartwarming for me to be standing at the top of Parnell Square and have to wait 2 hours to walk because so many people came out, and so many people came out with, like, there was dogs going along with, you know, a Palestinian.
They all want a free Palestine.
That's it. Everybody wants a Palestine.
But I don't think it's just they want a free Palestine. I think they want a liberation. It's probably deeper than Palestine. It's a liberation. It's some kind of connection. And something brought you two women together. So tell me about that. What was that like?
So I was fortunate to meet Twila. We're very similar. We're both very loud. Love loud women.
And very Pakistani.
Yeah, very Pakistani. So first, we're both from Pakistan. We're both loud. That's fair enough. You're my friend. But I actually asked her if she's ever been to Palestine. And she told me that, of course, there was lots of countries included. Libya, Syria, Lebanon. I was like, okay. But what I got is she's never been to Palestine. And it's just, I had to just step out and try to step in her shoes. I've always been raised in Palestine. I've lived my whole life in Palestine. I've just left a year ago, year and a half. But I've never perceived or imagined what it feels like to be wala. You know, like, the Palestinian suffering is not one suffering. It's trillions of forms of suffering. Every Palestinian has a pain. Every Palestinian has their own significant, special sort of pain and suffering. Like, her pain is different than mine. We have shared pain, but she's never stepped in Palestine. This sense of longing. I live in Palestine, I long for Palestine, but I cannot even imagine, like, I'm here in Ireland for a year, and I keep saying this, as beautiful and green Ireland is, and the weather, of course, so beautiful. But life, as hard as it was, as gloomy as, like, life felt real in Palestine. You know, there's this, I can't describe it. Of course, we are born, we naturally feel connected to the country we live in. But Palestine is something completely different. For me, there is something very spiritual about that place. And it's just, it felt too real to be there. Too real, like, in hardships, but as well, like, humanity was awakened. Brutality, like, everything that is about the human experience, both spectrums, which is the darkness and the goodness, they are in Palestine, and we are. Like, the fight in Palestine mimics the fight of goodness and evil in this world. So when you are chanting a free Palestine, you are chanting for a free, liberated world, and it's spreading, it's contagious. Now we're hearing Free Sudan, we're hearing about Congo, we're hearing about so many things that Haiti, like, so many countries, so many sufferings we don't hear about. So it is not only Antifada revolution, it is a collective revolution, because we have one enemy.
So it is Palestine. And thank you, Palestine. That's where it's at. That's where the game is. That's where the
Somebody
point is.
Somebody said on Instagram, it's not Palestine that needs to be free, but it's the rest of the world. And
yeah,
they're right.
And the opportunity is being shown to us on our screens, on our phones, through Palestine. Yes. And it's a gift. It is a gift. Because if we don't have this, if we don't look and we don't see,
God knows where we end up. You know, we definitely don't fucking do this shit where we're on stage trying to grasp at something that we all know is there, trying to share, trying to fan those embers. So you haven't been to Palestine? I haven't been to Palestine either, okay? So stop crying about it.
You probably can.
Yes,
I can't.
Yes, that's the difference. That's the difference.
So my grandfather left Palestine when he was 4 years old with his family in 1948. It's the usual story of a lot of Palestinians here. And my dad's never been to Palestine. He's 61 years old now. And I said I'm not going to cry, but it's all of you.
Let it out, sister.
I thought we finished all of our tears up there, but there's still some more. My dad, he met my mom in Russia. They lived in Russia, they lived in Sweden, they lived in Libya, they lived in Syria, they lived in Lebanon. My sister is born in Sweden, my brother is born in Russia, I'm born in Libya. And this is as typical of a Palestinian story as it gets, because none of us get a chance to call a place home. And it's such a privilege to be able to call a place home, and you don't really understand the pain until you really don't have a sense of a home. So I lived everywhere and I love Ireland with all my heart, but I would give everything in a split second to go back to a land that I've never known. And a lot of people ask me, what's the connection there? I've never seen it. My dad has never seen it. So what is the connection? And it's something that I cannot explain, but it's something so deeply rooted in every single Palestinian, the right to return, that no longer, however long it will take, even if it's not gonna be me, that's okay, because my child will know that he only has one home, and that is Palestine. And he will teach the same to his kids. And that is the only way that we keep the Palestinian story alive. Because if we, the Palestinians in the diaspora, give up on our people inside, then we lose that battle. So we will never give up on the right to return. Absolutely never.
And there is no time. There is no time. It's a year, it's a week, it's 75 years, it's 7,000 years. The time,
but it's coming, it's getting close.
It's getting close, so we can all feel it. And that's why we're in the room. We can all feel it, okay? We can all feel it in our millions and in our billions.
You better not go to Palestine until I can go. You're not allowed to go until I can step foot there. And just as a personal note, everybody that I know who had the chance to go to Palestine, I always ask them to bring me a little bit of sand of Palestine, and I have so many bits of sand from different places in Palestine. So I hope one day I'll be able to go and get that myself, inshallah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give them a round of applause. Asil and Walla. Let's get a little chant going, right? Get that chant going, yeah?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
That is not loud enough. From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
Because in our millions, in our billions,
we are all Palestinian.
In our millions, in our billions,
we are all Palestinian.
Long live Palestine.
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 Wherever you get your podcast, there's the Echo Chamber podcast, the Tortoise Shack podcast, and me and Sparky from Ballymore, we do the Fresh Batch podcast. So go on to Google or Amazon or whatever it is and like it and share it and send it around. We have amazing conversations. This doesn't happen without yous turning up on a Sunday to listen to heavy shit, to be entertained, to have your mind blown, to have your heart open. So give yourself a big round of applause. And a big round of applause to everybody who was on the stage tonight or zooming in. These are all amazing. We are millions. We are billions. We are all Palestinians.
This guy here, I know this guy since he's about 12. I was a youth worker in Bradoak, and he used to come in and he used to write. At 12, he used to write amazing songs, you know, and I've always kind of, pushed him, you know, to be doing this. And he's an amazing guy. And I heard that he was coming in tonight to be in the audience, and I rang him and I said, please bring your guitar. And I am absolutely delighted that he's come in and he's going to sing a song for us. Will you please put your hand together for Kieran Bourne?
I was gone. Yeah, Sparky rang me at 7 o'clock. I was coming in and he said, do you want to sing a song? And I played a couple of these events, the event for Palestine with the Irish artist for Palestine, and each time I played I was asked to play a song that I wrote, and it's a song that was a personal experience myself, and it was about being kind of fighting against things when you're on your own, you know. And this whole situation, every time I do these events, I kind of say the same thing. Sparky and Dean, for years, since I've been a kid, if there's anyone to get a community together, they're the people for it, and they're brilliant. But a quick explanation of my view on this is, you know, when you're a kid and you're in school and there's a bully that's kind of picking on you, you know, and you can't fight them back because you're afraid, and your brothers and everyone, your friends are telling you to stand up to them and that, you know, but you're still afraid behind it all. But when you have a couple of friends, like tonight, a community and people that get together, the bully usually fucks off. So this is all about yous and everyone getting together and staying together in a community. So put your hands together for yourselves. This is on call. It's okay. Was it I was broken? Was it I was hopeless? Was I just a voiceless boy and went unnoticed? And was I missed inside, hoping you'd realize I'm in the middle of a war between my heart and mind? It's not okay to do it all alone. It won't matter where you'll go. Won't you have a hand to hold? If your days are darker than you'd hope, find yourself alive and you won't see this gold. It's okay. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay to feel alone. Now that I've changed my ways, I think of better days. Cause a rope was only gonna take my pain away. And I'm too strong a boy to make a stupid choice. I could have gave it all away just because I was afraid. It's not okay to do it all alone. It won't matter where you'll go. Won't you have a hand to hold? If your days are darker than you'd hope, find yourself alive. You won't see this gold. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay to feel alone. It's not okay to do it all alone. It won't matter where you'll go. Won't you have a hand to you'd hope, find yourself alive and you won't see this ghost. Please join me with two words. It's okay. On a hand. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Won't you have a hand to hold? If your days are darker than you'd hope, find yourself alive and you won't see these ghosts. Thank you very much for listening to that. Cheers. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on, a big hug for Kieran. Kieran Moran! Please welcome to the stage one more time, Martin Lee. Give him a round of applause.
Okay, this is a kind of an odd song here. The Ireland for All rally was mentioned there earlier, and I was at it last year. There was a few of us on the march, and we had a little mobile PA, and we were singing and stuff. It was a great day. It was an amazing day to be part of. Somebody took a, when I got home, somebody had taken a really beautiful video of us at one point where we were all singing and there was people dancing and stuff. So I posted it on social media. The trolling was absolutely vicious. It was from all these accounts with fake names, fake profiles, and with Irish flags on them, calling themselves patriots. It was just absolutely vicious trolling. So I, there was people of colour in the video and stuff, and they were, it was so nasty that I had to take the video down. I felt really kind of defeated by doing that. So I wrote a song to respond to the trolls. The great Irish singer Christy Moore then was, saw it, and he rang me up and he asked me could he cover it. So basically an amazing thing to happen out of something so dark. So here it is anyway. It's called Snowflakes. I'm an Irishman, I'm a patriot. I hate the refugees and gays. I'll spill blood for my country, fight till my dying day. I'm not afraid of most things, although I must proclaim, when it comes to social media, I'm afraid to use my name. I'm afraid to use my name, boys. Afraid to use my name. When it comes to social media, I'm afraid to use my name. I'm ready for the war. I'm ready for the fight. I'm ready around the clock. I've a vicious turn of phrase. I've got threatening ways on Twitter and the old TikTok. And also Telegram. I've almost everything I need to be a patriot, so it's a crying shame that when it comes to social media, I'm afraid to use my name. I'm afraid to use my name, boys. Afraid to use my name. When it comes to social media, I'm afraid to use my name. I have dreams of being a brave man and to show my name and face and close down all my fake accounts and not be such a fucking snowflake. But guts and courage are not for those that are in the trolling game. So when it comes to social media, I'm afraid to use my name. I'm afraid to use my name, boys. Afraid to use my name. When it comes to social media, I'm afraid to use my name. I'm afraid to use my name, boys. Afraid to use my name. When it comes to social media, I'm afraid to use my name.
He's not afraid to use his name. That's Martin Lee. He's amazing. Give him a round of applause. Now go home, will you? For fuck's sake. No, one more be bollocks of bleeding. No, go on. You are all right. If you want one more tune, we're going to be doing another podcast like this in a couple of weeks' time. Buy a ticket and bring a friend. Give yourself a round of applause. Thank you very much. See you later.
Listen, folks, thanks everybody again. It's brilliant to see such a great crowd for such an important cause on such a great night.
Yo, fuck off, will you?
Fresh, yeah?